Do you need a little mercy and grace today? Consider this from Pastor Al Pittman.
These great men of God, they weren't perfect. That's the point. They didn't have it all together. Even though God blessed them and he heard them when they called, he also disciplined them. Boy, it speaks of our lives in the Lord. God hears us when we call because we're in Christ and he loves us and all. But boy, it doesn't mean that he won't whoop you behind. It doesn't mean that he won't take you to the woodshed when you need it. Because he loves us. And so they needed mercy and grace just like us.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
When was the last time you felt really lonely? It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in or what level of success you enjoy. Every human being feels lonely from time to time. But we're here to tell you today that there's really no need for the Christian to feel lonely because God is with you, no matter where you are. A study in Psalm 99 is coming up next on The Dwelling Place. One of the most difficult aspects of God's reality for many people to grasp is the fact that he is indeed a real being, our Heavenly Father. Many people prefer to think of God as simply a cosmic presence or an aura. But he is the one who created you and me in his image. Here's Al with today's study.
It's good to know that in Christ, the Father deals with us from a posture of mercy, not a posture of judgment. Therefore, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Moses spoke with God face to face, and God positioned in the place of mercy. When we come and commune with God, it's in a place of mercy. It's not a place of judgment or legalism, but it's mercy. Aren't you glad? The Bible says we come boldly before a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's the place where we meet God. Oh, for he is holy. Verse 3 says, "Praise him, for he is great and awesome. He is holy." He is great in the sense that he is able to perform great things, and he is awesome in the sense that he is to be feared. When it says come boldly, it doesn't mean come cocky. Come with a little attitude. "Oh God, where were you? You know, I'm waiting for you. What happened? What's up?" You know. You come in fear and trembling. You come boldly because Christ has paved the way for us to come to a throne of grace that we might receive mercy. But we come recognizing that he is awesome. He is holy, as it says here in verse 3. In verses 4 and 5, we've just read it, but in Psalm 99, he is holy because he loves justice and equity as well. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Israel or in Jacob. Then it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." God's strength will establish justice and equity in Israel. When Christ returns, justice and equity, praise God, uprightness will be established not only in Israel, but also throughout the entire world. The strength of the Lord is always is not without justice. God doesn't just have strength for strength's sake. He has strength to bring about justice. And so strength and justice are always working in tandem with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8, the first part says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." God's strength is always working out justice, and justice will prevail. Regardless of what people think they're getting away with today, justice will prevail because God, every person will stand before God. Even after millennial reign, all the people will be called small and great, Revelation tells us, to stand before him. Justice will win out in the end. And thank God that through Christ's faith in him that we have been justified, so that when we stand before God, we do not stand before the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, but we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged, but to have our works judged, but not ourselves. And so verses 6 and 7, we move on here. And he says, Moses and Aaron are among his priests. And he talks about Samuel also was among those who called upon the name of the Lord. And he said he spoke to them, verse 7, in a cloudy pillar. And they kept his testimonies, the ordinance he gave them. In verse 8, it says, you were to them, the latter part, God who forgives. Amen. Moses was not a priest. Somebody might have caught that. Well, wait a minute. Moses wasn't a priest. He was not called a priest, but he fulfilled the role of a priest. Some scripture proof text for that is Exodus chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. Moses sprinkling the blood of the covenant at Mount Sinai in the role of a priest. Exodus chapter 40, verses 18 to 33. He set in order the tabernacle according to God's instructions. Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 to 30. And he was involved in consecrating the first high priest of Israel, that is Aaron and his sons. His brother Aaron, I should say, and Aaron's sons. And then in Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 to 32, he interceded for the people. Moses stood in the gap for the people as the priest would intercede for the people on the Day of Atonement. And so Moses operated in the role of a priest. So the cloudy pillar is also mentioned. This cloudy pillar is mentioned in Exodus chapter 33, verse 9. And where the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That pillar of cloud is representative of the presence of God. And so it says here in the psalm, it says that that he spoke, that is, God spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. The pillar of cloud, representative of the presence of God, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel are examples to us, so, of that intimacy that we should have also with the Lord. They experienced the presence of God because they also kept his word. You see, the two go together, God's presence, the intimacy of his presence, and the keeping of his ordinance and his word, they cannot be separate. I want God's presence, but I don't want to keep his word. It doesn't work that way. If I'm going to have the intimacy of his presence, then I must walk in obedience to him. I must obey his word. And there's times when we've tried to do the opposite, and it never works out that way, does it? We always have to come back and say, yes, Lord. And then that intimacy comes back into the relationship. Then we can fellowship with God in the pillar of cloud, if you will. And that is his presence. And so they fellowship with the Lord in his presence, but it's because they kept the ordinance of God. They called upon the Lord, the Bible says in Psalms here, in Psalm 99, verse 8, and he answered. You answered them, O Lord, our God. In verses 8 and 9, however, it says he answered them, but you were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. What does that mean? Well, simply means that even Moses and Aaron and Samuel were not perfect. I love that when the Bible leaves in the flaws. Lord, you dealt with them as well. You took vengeance on their deeds. These guys were not perfect. The Bible says, however, that God disciplines those that he loves. God will spank you. Amen. And but he does it because he loves us. You say, well, these guys were perfect, weren't they? Well, what about Aaron? Remember him. He helped fashion a golden calf so that people could enter into, you know, debauchery and the worship of an Egyptian idol. I think that would be a slight mess up. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 24. And yet here he is being ordained, or we have seen Moses ordaining him, and back in Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 to 30, I just mentioned a little while ago, he's ordained as the first high priest of Israel. Going from making golden calves to high priest. I think God is merciful. And then there was a time when Moses and Aaron, he and his brother, failed to hallow the name of God before the people at Meribah, the waters of Meribah, when the people were murmuring and complaining, wanting water, and Moses, you know, rather than speak to the rock, hit the rock, you know, water came out. God honors his word, but then God called Moses and Aaron to the side and said, you fail to hallow me. In other words, to model before the people that I am holy. You failed to do that. You got caught up in your own anger. You carried out the work, but your attitude and your heart was not representative of who I am. And because of that, Moses, we always talk about Moses, but also Aaron, could not go into the promised land. They both died there in the wilderness. So God had to correct them. And then Samuel, well, what about Samuel? Samuel was perfect. He rebuked Saul and all of that. But some people believe that Samuel's judgeship was cut short as a prophet because of his leniency toward his sons Joel and Abijah. You know, some people don't know Samuel had two boys, Joel and Abijah. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, if you want to go back and read about his boys, they weren't good boys. The Bible says, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice while they were in the ministry. That's Samuel's boys, which is ironic because Samuel succeeded Eli. And remember Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were boneheads too. Amen. It's hard to discipline your own kids. But some people believe that maybe Samuel's ministry was cut a little short because of his leniency toward his two sons.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message from Psalm 79. At The Dwelling Place, we count on the support of our listeners, both financially and through prayer. In these trying economic times, we know it's difficult for many to make ends meet right now. But if you'd like to make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now, once again, here's our teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, to bring us the second half of today's study in Psalm 99.
But these great men of God, they weren't perfect. That's the point. They didn't have it all together. Even though God blessed them and he heard them when they called, he also disciplined them. Boy, it speaks of our lives in the Lord. God hears us when we call because we're in Christ and he loves us and all. But boy, it doesn't mean that he won't whoop you behind. It doesn't mean that he won't take you to the woodshed when you need it because he loves us. And so they needed mercy and grace just like us. And the Bible says, to them you were God who forgives. You ought to underline that in your Bible. What is God to you? I tell you what he is to you. I tell you what I need him to be to me. God who forgives. I'd rather have him be God who forgives than God who provides. Amen. Rather than being God who prospers, I need God who forgives. Forgive me, Lord. I need mercy. I need grace. What is he to you? Oh, if he's God who forgives, then you never have to give up. If he's God who forgives, then you always have hope. If he's God who forgives, then no matter how many times you fall down, you can get back up. What is he to you? I pray that he's God who forgives, and then I pray that you would go and infect somebody else with that. Because there's a lot of believers that you'll meet who believe that he is God who judges. That's all he is to them. And every time they mess up, you know, he's God who holds a grudge. He's God who keeps record of all your wrongs. He's none of those things. He is God who forgives. Is he that to you tonight? Amen. He is God who forgives. No matter how much God uses us or how great we think we are, we all need God to be for us God who forgives. And that's why we worship him. Verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. Why? For the Lord our God is holy. His holy hill is the Temple Mount. It is the present place, presently, where the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque, exists. And one day, it will not be there. And when Jesus returns, he will rule and reign from that holy mount. But right now, the Dome of the Rock is there. But it says here, it won't always be that way, that we will worship him at his holy hill. Psalm 100, really, real short psalm here, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. Amen. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This, again, is a psalm of thanksgiving. This psalm describes the attitude I believe we ought to have in our service to the Lord. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. Literally, recognize this fact as a certainty. The certainty that, Lord, you are indeed God. Know for certain that he has made us for his purpose. Why? Because we are the sheep of his pasture. Lord, I belong to you. This means that we are not our own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, for you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are your sheep. He has ownership over us. It also means that we are under his care and his protection as well. Lord, we belong to you. Come before him in an attitude of worship, an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, and bless his name. It's an attitude of faith. Because sometimes you come to church, you don't feel like blessing the Lord. But, you know, to come into his presence and to refuse to bless his name, I think there's something wrong with our thinking when we do that. We have to come in, sometimes stir ourselves up and bless his holy name. Bestow upon him, we talked about it last time, assign to him glory and strength. As we saw in Psalm 96 some time ago, in Psalm 96 verses, I think it was last week. Verse 7, the latter part, and then verse 8 says, assign to him, bestow upon the Lord glory and strength. In other words, bless his holy name. Declare that, Lord, in all you have all strength and all glory belongs to you. We declare that's who he is, not who we are, but who he is. That's what worship is. I'm declaring who you are, Lord, not who I am. And why do we do that? Well, verse 5 puts it very simply and succinctly. It says, for three reasons. Number one, the Lord is good. Number two, his mercy is everlasting. And then number three, his truth endures to all generations. Isn't that a reason to praise him? Isn't that a reason to come in and stir yourself up? Isn't that a reason to ascribe to the Lord, you know, strength and glory? Because of all of those, Lord, you are everything I need. You're good, you're merciful, and your truth never fades. It endures to all generations. One commentator writes, our hope is in God's faithfulness that he will keep his promises, pardon, deliver, cleanse, and give us rest in his kingdom forever. Boy, isn't that what we're all here for? Hoping in God's promises, trusting that God, you will deliver me because you're good. You will pardon me because you're merciful. That your truth, Lord, will last forever, which promises me rest in your kingdom forever. Now we move on to Psalm 101. And it says it's simply a psalm of David. This psalm describes the rightful conduct of an Israelite king. It's a great psalm of instruction. This psalm is ascribed to King David. It is regarded by some as the portrait of the ideal ruler or leader. So if you're in leadership or whatever, this is a great psalm to go back and reflect upon. There are four leadership qualities found here. In verse 1, he defines the essence of godly leadership, leadership which rejoices in mercy and justice. And when you think about leadership, it has to have those two qualities, mercy, but also justice. You can't have one and the other. You have just justice, it's all legalism. You burn people out. You're a perfectionist, and people hate to be around you. If it's all mercy, you'll never get anything done because people will use you. Amen. You got to have mercy, and you got to have justice working together. Now, some people may think, well, I'm not in leadership, so I can just leave early tonight. No, you can't. Because if you're a witness for Jesus, you're a leader. I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Your kids are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. You may have neighbors like me, and they may not like you, but I mean, they're watching you still. People at work are watching you. You're leading somebody. You're a witness for somebody. You're leading somebody someplace. You're leading them to Christ or away from Christ because of your hypocrisy. So we're all leaders when you think about it. So this is for all of us. And here's the four qualities that we want to go over here, but we should read the psalm first. I'm going to do it a few verses at a time. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and justice. That's the essence of his leadership. And then he says, to you, O Lord, I will sing praises. And then he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Wow. That word perfect, as it says in your Bible, I'm sure it means blameless. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, but you're blameless. You know, you may hurt somebody's feelings, but it wasn't your intention to. You're blameless. And when you find out about it, you go and you ask for forgiveness. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a blameless or perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. The Bible says that God has no pleasure in the backslider.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.